If you have a copy of God's Word, there's just one or two verses I want to leave with you tonight. Don't worry if you don't have a copy of God's Word. Just to really leave this, we've many favorite verses, and maybe you have a favorite verse or a verse you learned as a child. And if there's a verse that would summarize my life and my testimony, it would simply be in 2 Timothy and chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15 simply says this, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Amen. You know, that is my testimony in one single Bible verse. I had a great privilege. That word privilege I have heard since I got into the car this evening. I'm sure all of you maybe have heard by now the news that has come out of Kensington Palace about Princess Kate. And that word privilege has been used, and I listened to the radio on the way over for part of the journey, and one of the commentators said this, "Despite all the privilege, reality still comes to the royal." And you know something tonight? I want to say this, and I say this very respectfully tonight. I had greater privilege than the royals because I was born into a Christian home. I wasn't born into a perfect home, but I thank God for my parents. I hope they're listening tonight because I've never maybe admitted to that publicly, but I am so grateful for my mum and dad. Now, I didn't always appreciate, me and my sister didn't always understand or appreciate why we weren't allowed to do certain things or why we weren't allowed to go certain places. But now that I'm a father myself, I can start to understand why. And I can honestly say from my very earliest days, my earliest memories of coming down the stairs, 6:30 in the morning, a light would be on in the living room and my dad would be in there on the sofa with the Bible. And I always knew you don't go in there at that particular time because dad was reading his Bible and he was praying. And I'll tell you another thing. It's a very humbling thing to walk past a room or try to creep past the room and to hear your dad praying for you and for my sister and for other people. And I can say from a very early age, every time church was open, we were there. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, we were there. Well, you might say we were dragged along, but we'll maybe not admit to that. Tuesday night was the Lifeliners or the children's meeting. We were there. Mum and dad were involved in that. And Sunday school too, we were there. Friday night youth meeting, we were there. Everything going, missions, just like what you guys are having here. Every single meeting that was on, I was there. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't overly like it all the time. And I didn't like having to go out and I didn't like having to leave my friends and whatever else to go to another meeting. But I'm very grateful for it now. And at those meetings, I learned something. That even though I had great privilege of being born into a Christian home, even though my mom and dad were saved, there was one thing that I didn't inherit from my mom and dad. I'm sure you've heard that all the time. Maybe somebody will say to you, "Oh, you're very like your father," or "The way you did that just reminds me of your mother." Well, I've got many things that I've inherited from my mum and dad, but one thing I didn't get from them was salvation. I didn't get the saved thing that they had from them. Yes, I heard all about it, and they lived the life out in front of me, but I didn't get it because they had it. I had to get that myself, and I'll tell you about that. Like many young people, I'm sure, that are born into Christian homes, whenever you go through primary school, it's handy enough, it's easy enough, as it were. There's not really anybody in your class. All you're really worried about is Man United and whether David Beckham was going to leave that particular summer, and giving away my age now. Well, I'll just tell you my age. I'm 33, okay? Because everybody sits and tries to wonder what age he is, and then if you drop a year in here and there, right, if you do, he must be, I'm 33, all right? I've got 3 children and I'm married. I'll get all that out of the way, so now you don't have to worry about it anymore. But every summer when you're in primary school, you're just kind of worried about who Man United are going to sign or who they're going to sell. And nothing's really too much of a big deal. And then you go to secondary school and boy, it all changes, doesn't it? Meet people with all sorts of ideas, all sorts of worldviews, all sorts of different ideas about this and that. And I started to get a wee bit rocked by this because I'd never met anybody with different ideas. And I wasn't saved. And I found school quite difficult in terms of people giving me a hard time. And I was from quite a sheltered background. I didn't really know anything. I was, if you like, quite innocent about the whole thing. And I found it quite difficult indeed. And I started to go down a path. I started to be one person on a Sunday. I was always having a wee suit on a Sunday, and I probably looked like a Christian on a Sunday. But then Monday through Friday, and then on Saturday, if I was playing sport on the Saturday with my friends, I was somebody else. And I started to use language and do different things that I'm really ashamed of, and I shouldn't have done it. And I was somebody completely different on those other days. And there was two things happen. There's a lady, she's now in the glory. Her and her sister came to my home church, which was in Lisburn Independent Methodist Church. And they were called the Miss Best Sisters. They're always known as the Miss Best Sisters. And there was the wee one and the big one. Need to rephrase that, actually. There's the tall one and the small one, just in case anybody worries. And they were old school nurses, quite strict old school nurses. And the tall one cornered me one day at the door. And she said to me, "Philip, are you saved?" And I just sort of stared at her and murmured a few words and slipped out past her as soon as I could. But that woman was used of God that day because it sent an arrow through my heart. Here you are, boy. People look on in church and probably think you're saved because you can talk the talk. I can say all the things. I can quote verses. I can sing all the hymns. I know what to do, when to do it. And yet, I wasn't saved. And that really struck an arrow through my heart. And this really annoyed me. This really bothered me. And it went on. And then every year, whenever the Good News Club, or the youth club rather, started every year, and whenever we went back, they used to give us a little questionnaire on it at the start. And they would say, where would you like to go as a youth group? What sort of outings would you like to do? What sort of things would you like taught from God's word? And then there's a little questionnaire at the back of it, and it asked questions like, how long have you been a Christian? Are you a Christian? And I remember filling in this little questionnaire, bearing in mind my mum and dad were heavily involved in the church and all the leaders knew my mum and dad and everything else. And I remember filling out at the back of that little questionnaire, I don't know if I'm a Christian. And I remember one of the leaders picked up my questionnaire and he's flicking through it, and he got to the back and he looked at it and he went, "Oh, Philip, come on. You're bound to be saved." I said, I don't know. You see, even though I had all that privilege, I wasn't saved. And as a young person, as a teenager, at 16 years of age, I remember coming home one Sunday night from church, no idea what Pastor Moore preached on. I know it would have been the gospel. But I came home that night and I went up to my room and I went to my bed. And I just lay down on top of my bed. Now, I've always loved gospel music. Always loved it. And I love a group in particular called The Cathedral. Some of you older people and those of you with good taste will know The Cathedral. And The Cathedral had a CD at that time. Well, it was a long time ago, but I'm a bit weird and I was listening to it anyway. But I was lying on top of my bed. Sin had taken me down a very dark path. It was taking me farther and farther away from that wonderful privilege that I had. And I was getting more and more tangled up with all the things that go on in the world. And I was on the verge of starting to break my mum and dad's heart. And I just simply turned on the little CD player beside my bed that night. And the singer announced the song. I was going to sing it for you tonight. And he just announced this. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. And they started to sing. Friend, if you're here tonight and you're not saved and you're in your sin, don't think that you can control your sin. Because sin controls you. And sin will take you farther than you ever want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And it'll keep you far longer than you ever intended to stay. But the good news is tonight that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Christ Jesus is able to break those chains of sin. Don't Don't care what it is that binds you or holds you tonight. Christ can set you free. Well, simply that night, I called upon the name of the Lord and I was saved. I called out upon the Lord and I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've broke your law. I've broken your word. I've hurt people. Save me. Forgive me from my sin. And you know what happened that night? He saved me. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleansed me, cleared me, cleaned me from every single sin and stain. It's as simple as that. Just called upon the name of the Lord and was wonderfully saved. Now I wish I could just close my Bible over and sit down and tell you it's been easy from then. Friend, I have let the Lord down many, many ways, many times, many different situations. But the Lord has been so good to me. I am nothing without him. I am truly only a sinner saved by grace. Just to fast forward very quickly on how the Lord has led in my life thus far. Whenever I grew up a little bit and went through university and started to work, I met a young lady. Everybody likes this part of the testimony, don't they? I met a beautiful young lady. It's a mixed marriage. She's a Free Presbyterian and I was a Baptist. Paul was starting to panic there. He was starting to worry what sort of a boy he'd got along. But I met her. This will be a funny story for you. We were a warning for all you men. I met her and I was just captivated. I thought she was the most beautiful thing I'd ever saw in my life. She doesn't even remember meeting me that night. But she knew enough to add me on Facebook later on, so there must be something in it. But anyway, we started to go out and we got together. We got married in 2015 and we moved to Lurgan, Portadown area, and then we moved to Lurgan Baptist. And Dennis Lyle, who I'm sure you've had preaching here on occasion, Dennis Lyle got up the very first Sunday that we were there, and Dennis got up and he said, "Going to preach this morning on why you should join the local church." And I said, "Well, this is the church for us." And we never went anywhere else. And I was there for quite a few years, and there was lots of different opportunity came along to preach at prayer meetings and different things. And then with solid ground, I would have been out with the guys, and they always picked on me, you know, they bullied me. That's the real reason why I left. But they picked on me, and any time we were asked to take an entire meeting, they said, "Young fella, you do the preaching." I said, "Well, you boys have more experience. You're doing the preaching." I said, "Right, okay." So that's how it all started. I started preaching or speaking a little word here and there, and it just kept going and going from there. Then if you remember, 4 years ago, something came across this old world which changed the world forever in terms of COVID. But in that time, God really started to move and to work in Esther and I's life. I remember in June 2020, one day, I read this verse in Mark 1:17, says this, 17:18, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." And that verse 18 especially, that part of it just jumped off the page at me. "Straightway they left their nets and followed him." And I said, "Surely not me. Surely not me." And I wrestled with the Lord for a long time. Then in August 2020, is the last bank holiday weekend again. Dennis Lyle, he's a lot to be responsible for, this whole thing. But he was preaching in Port Rush Baptist that weekend and we were there. Dennis knew nothing about what was going on in my life, the wrestling that was going on in terms of serving the Lord full time. And Dennis got up and he preached from Isaiah 6, "Here am I, send me." And he preached, and I looked around the church, that church, Port Rush Baptist, that morning, and they were vacant at that time. And I looked around the church and I thought to myself, surely the Lord doesn't want you to pastor a Baptist church. I thought, that's the silliest thing you've ever thought in your life. You've had some crackers, boy, but that's the best one. Got into the car to drive home, and I wondered how I could bring this up with my wife. You know how it is, men. You're very reluctant to appear stupid in front of them, even though they know that already. And I said to her as I was driving down the road, I says, "Well, what did you think of that this morning?" She said, "You know something, that really spoke to me. Maybe God wants you to pastor a Baptist church." I sort of looked at her and I said, "Really, did you think that?" And that really started a whole chain of events. And before we knew it, the Lord was very clearly guiding us. I remember one, just to leave one bit of encouragement with you tonight. In October 2020, our second little boy had come along and Esther and I had committed to following the Lord full time. We didn't know what that would entail. I was searching out different options, what to do. But I knew that we had to go through with God. I remember feeding George at about 3 o'clock in the morning downstairs. And I was just holding him. I used to hold him in one arm like this, and then I had my phone the other bit, and I was reading the Bible at the same time when I had the Bobo going. I had a real skill at this. But I remember looking at him. I remember saying to myself, how on earth, if I step away from my employment, how on earth could I sustain you and your mom and your brother? How could I provide? Genesis 50:21 was on the screen. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. I said, Lord, that's enough for me. And we committed to follow the Lord. And then before you know it, I was doing videos for Kilray. I remember over lockdown doing all those videos. I have a few horrible videos from my garden shed for Kilray, but for some reason they liked them and they decided to call me, and we considered that, and we went through with the Lord in May 2021. And friend, let me tell you this, even in ministry, it's not always easy. There's difficult times, there's difficult situations, there's heartache and different things and funerals that you have to do. It's not always pleasant. But friend, let me tell you this, he is faithful and he's able to bring you through. Friend, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, come to Christ tonight. He stands willing and ready and able to save unto the uttermost all who will come unto him by faith. If you are saved here tonight, are you willing to do anything that the Lord would have you to do? Because let me tell you this, if you're willing, he'll enable you. And he will enable you to do it. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Thank you.